Right, go ahead to discuss a short Dvar Torah regarding the month of Adar and the way that we serve Hashem during this month, based on some beautiful insights by the Bnei Yisachar, the Tzvi Elimelech of Zinov, lived 150 years ago or so, and less, and he writes in many of his numerous works this idea, which is very appropriate to mention right now. The Torah tells us that when Hashem created man, He gave him one mitzvah, telling him not to eat from the tree of knowledge, Eitz HaDaas, as we find in the commentaries, the Ramban and others. Hashem basically was giving Adam HaRishon, giving Adam a choice, telling him, how would you like to live your life? How would you like to serve God in this world? Would you like to do so with everything clear, with clear-cut guides as to how to serve God without confusion, and you just choose yes or no? Or would you like to serve God amidst the confusion that we are presently aware of, where sometimes it's not at all clear what exactly Hashem wants from us and what we're supposed to be doing? And Adam HaRishon, by eating from the Eitz HaDaas, made his decision to choose a world where even the will of Hashem is sometimes hidden, and a person has to sometimes dig deep down, sometimes analyze the situation very carefully to make certain that he really understands what it is that Hashem wants him to do in any particular instance. This is a theme that's discussed at great length by many of the Gedolei Hasidus, to many of the Hasidim and the other commentaries. But what the Meis Asra has is that this can be seen from the punishment of Adam HaRishon and the proclamation that Hashem made to him, Kotz V'Darda Tatsmiach Loch. Kotz V'Darda, thorns and thistles shall grow for you when you plant, and you will not be able to to find your livelihood simply, to find fruit and food, everything that you need growing on trees. Rather, you will have to toil, and the ground will put forth thorns and thistles sometimes instead of the bread that you're expecting, instead of the wheat. The words Kotz V'Darda sum up this very theme, this entire idea, the concept of the confusion that reigns in this world. How is that? We find in the Midrash that the Midrash tells us is a person has to be so careful in this world, because sometimes a little sliver, a little cut, the Midrash calls it, a little thorn, a little sliver, can sometimes be the only thing that separates between life and death. Just changing a little sliver, a person can turn something that brings life into something that brings death. And as an example of this, the Midrash cites the verse, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If a person would take off the little sliver at the end of the Dalet, behind the letter Dalet in Hashem Echad, the word would read Acher. Hashem Acher is another God. Rachmanu l'Islam, God forbid to say such a thing. How could a person say, listen, there's another God that's turning a statement of life into a statement of death? And the Midrash continues, the opposite is also true. There's a verse that says, Lo tishtachaveh le'el acher, do not bow down to another God. If you take the word acher, spelled aleph ches reish, and you find that the last letter reish is very similar to a dalet, by adding a little sliver to the back of the top of the resh, one can turn the resh into a dalet. If one will read the pasuk with an extra sliver, it will say, do not bow down to the one God. Rachman al-Islam, you're turning a verse that says life and turning it into death again. This is the example the Midrash brings. The Baal Turim tells us that that's why we find that the letters Reish in the second pasuk and Dalet in the first pasuk in the first verse are written in the Torah, excuse me, in an exaggerated form, larger than all the other letters. They're written so that they stand out, so that they cannot be confused. Make certain you read the Dalet as a Dalet, Hashem Echad, and the Reish as a Reish, Los Yishtachavel El Acher, not that answer another God. Don't confuse them. They're written larger, so to emphasize the fact that one has to be so careful about confusing. What the Medrash is alluding to is the fact that in this world sometimes a person thinks he's performing a mitzvah, he's serving Hashem Echad, but the truth is, he's not doing that at all. He's really serving another God. Why? Well, sometimes he's doing something that would seem to be a mitzvah, but he's doing it entirely for personal gain, for his own benefit. He's doing it because it suits him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be doing it. In such a situation, he's not serving Hashem Echad. He's serving El Acher. This little sliver, the kavanah, the intent that a person has can change his action from being one of a mitzvah to one of an aveira, of a sin. And the opposite could also be true, that a person can perform an aveira, and sometimes that can be life-saving. For example, saving a life on Shabbos by violating the Shabbos. If a Jew's life is in danger, it's a mitzvah to violate the Shabbos, to violate the, what normally one is commanded to do on Shabbos, and to act otherwise in order to save a person's life. If it involves doing any of the things that are normally forbidden on Shabbos, it is permitted in order to save a person's life. If a person says, well, I wouldn't do a thing like that, how can I violate the Shabbos? How can I desecrate the Shabbos? And he lets the person die, he's turning what's going to be a mitzvah into aveira. He's completely missing the point. A person can totally misunderstand what is a mitzvah and make it into aveira, and sometimes he could totally misunderstand an aveira until he persuades himself that this is really a mitzvah. That's the little quote. It's just alluded to in the verse that says, "Quotes v'dada tasmiach lach," the curse of Adam, which was, from now on, thorns and thistles shall grow for you. Kot is the word used for thorn, the same word that the Medrash uses when referring to this extra sliver that differentiates between a Reish and a Dalet. If a person adds this extra kot to the Reish, but makes the El Acher into Kel Achod, Pastor Shalom saying, don't bow down to Kel Achod, they're changing the Reish into a Dalet. And similarly, if he changes a Dalet into a Reish, how does he do that? By adding a kotz again. Why is that? Dalet has a numerical value of 4, according to the Gematria system, in which every letter in the Hebrew alphabet represents a number. Reish represents the number 200. The difference between them is 100 and 96. The exact value of the word kotz, kuf, vav, tzadik. If a person adds a kotz, 196, he adds the kotz to the Dalet, making the 4 into 200, into a Reish, then he again is going to turn the holy into the disgrace. He's going to make the Echad into Acher. Kotz, adding the Kotz is the way that a person can confuse the Dalet and the Reish. That is what the verse is telling us. Bnei Yisrael points out that this is what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Bnei Yisrael sinned by building a golden calf, Moses went up the mountain to receive the Torah. When he came down, even before he came down, the Jews were serving idol. How could they do a thing like that after receiving the Torah on Mount Sinai? Moses went up to learn the Torah, to study it, and to bring it down and teach it to the Jews. And he comes down and finds him serving Avodah Zarah. It's only because the Jews thought that their leader had expired. They thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was not coming back for whatever reason. The Russians discuss it. But what happened was they thought they needed a new leader. That's what Ramban and others explain. And they built a golden calf to lead them to Eretz Yisrael, thinking that this is what Hashem wants us to do. They confused the Dalet and the Reish. They confused the Hashem Echad with the El Acher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Reid Kishiches Amcha, go down, Moses, because your nation has sinned. The word for going down is Reish, Reish Dalet. The Jews have confused the Reish and the Dalet. They have let the Reish precede the Dalet, instead of the Dalet coming in the right place and preceding the Reish. Go down, Kishiches Amcha, go down, Reid, because I'll say in Brachas, Reid Migdulotcha, go down from the greatness, which is also alluding to the fact that the letters Reish and Dalet, which are larger than the other letters in the Torah, are now sinking, are being confused. The size that Hashem granted them in order to prevent this confusion didn't help. Leif Reid. That's what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. How does that apply to the month of Adar? It's also explained that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Yeshua after Amalek was conquered, Hashem told him, told Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua, Mechama l'Hashem v'Amalek l'dar dar, l'dar dar. There's a war between Hashem and Amalek, l'dar dar. Amalek represents the antithesis of serving God, serving Hashem. They represent the force of evil that is trying to confuse the Dalet and the Reish, is trying to miss the point and cause others to miss the point and not see the true God. And when Hashem warned Moshe Rabbeinu to destroy any zecher of Amalek, Hashem said, "Milchama Hashem Amalek midar dar, Dalet Reish, Dalet Reish." Keep the Dalet before the Reish, and that's why you have to destroy Amalek, so they don't cause that confusion. Haman tried to cause that confusion, but he didn't succeed. He didn't succeed, because I'll tell us that the Pasuk in Megillas Esther concludes that the Simcha of Purim is L'dar Dar. You remember the Dalet coming before the Reish. Again, it's spelled Dalet Reish, Dalet Reish. The month of Adar is trying to teach this concept. Aleph is Hashem Echad. The first letter of Adar represents Aleph, Hashem Echad. When does a person realize that Hashem Echad? Dalet Reish. If he puts the Dalet before the Reish, Adar. If he learns the lesson of the Muhammad, of the war against Amalek, if he learns the lesson of properly perceiving the good and the evil, of realizing what the will of Hashem is, and not letting Amalek confuse him, then he will learn the lesson of Adar, and he will be able to be Zocha, to see the days that Hashem Echad Yishmor Echad.